Matthew 13, that's on page 1014 if you're using a pew Bible. We'll be reading the first nine verses. Verses 1 through 9, why don't you stand with me please as we look into God's Word. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell in good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we know there's a parallel text that explains these verses. And I pray that we'd pay attention, that we'd have hearts that want to know the things of you, that your seed, the gospel, would fall on good soil this morning. And for those that have no heart for it, no ear for it, I pray that over time they would soften to the things of you. God bless your word in the time we have in it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You've probably noticed it's planting time. If you're have a little garden around here in our church, we're surrounded by farmland, and they're putting in the potatoes and the corn and the things they do around here. Dad's got peas up at his house, and so all of those things are going on. You decide what you're going to plant, you get some seed, you pick a spot, and you put it in there. And I did that when I was a kid. I have zero desire to do that now. Some folks, you talk to them, they love their gardens, they love their flowers, they love their hands in the dirt. It just makes me gag when I look at dirt, you know. Now, you can say, isn't that awful? You know, and I'm just being honest. Thank God for a Hannaford, you know. You know, thank God for a good can that I can open up. And, you know, so that's me. Honestly, I love you folks that love to garden and all of those things. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible talks about sowing and reaping and gathering and spreading seed. And as a preacher of the gospel, I love this job. And I love having a church full of people and sharing the gospel. But this isn't the only place we share the gospel. Hopefully, you talk about it out in your workplace, or hopefully you talk about it with your family members, or every now and then we'll talk to a total stranger about the gospel. And one thing that Christ had over us is he was God in the flesh. He knew what you were thinking. He could look in your eyes and see your soul. That would be rather intimidating. I do not have that ability, and I'm sure you're thrilled to hear that. I have no idea what you're thinking as I'm preaching. And so as you share your faith, and you're just hoping that it'll take hold. You're hoping that someone will believe. Because you know what? You're going to live somewhere forever. This is not the only life there is. When we leave here, this is a temporary spot that you are dwelling in right now. And I'm not talking about the pew that you set in temporarily for an hour on Sunday. I'm talking about the temporary life that you have. And there's a saying you hear me say from time to time. Life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. Okay? Life is short and death is sure. If Christ doesn't come back, I guarantee you every one of us at some point are going to die. In 100 years, none of us here will be alive. Okay? Now, knowing that, this is a temporary spot, folks. Death is sure. Sin's the cause. Death and sin happen. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. So you're going to die. Man, aren't you excited about that? Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Seems like you ought to plan for that. Because it's going to happen. You'll plan for retirement. You'll plan for your wife's birthday. If you don't, you ought to. You plan for certain things. You know what? You ought to plan for your death. And the best way to plan for that is to make a reservation for what happens after that. And we know that the reservation you make is a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, at Cornerstone Baptist Church, we don't want something from you. We have something for you. And what we have for you is a gospel message that Jesus saves. Say that with me. Jesus saves. What's he save you from? Well, I don't know. I don't know what your past is, but he'll save you from your past. I don't know what your present is, but he can save you from your present. And for me, I've told you, he saved me from a life of crime, from sleeping around, from drug addiction. You say, Stan, did you do all those things? No, I never have. But he saved me from them, because without Christ, I'll bet I would have. You know? He saves you. Not only does he save you, he saves you from the second death. He doesn't promise you he'll save you from the first death, the physical death, but he'll save you from the second death. And the Bible very clearly teaches the second death is death in hell. The second death is an eternal lake of fire. The second death is something you can never get out of. So I recommend to you this morning, as we're talking about sharing the gospel, broadcasting the seed, sowing. You're wondering how that message takes place. The Bible's very clear. There's four types of ground that seed can fall on. And so if you're wondering what people are thinking, I'm telling you, thinking one of the four things that I'll talk about this morning. We'll go over it very quickly. I won't keep you long. But here we are, and our first section is verse number 4. And when he sowed some seeds, they fell by the wayside. The fowls came, devoured them up. Now, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So you look at verse 4 and you think, oh, I wonder what that means. Well, the beauty is over in verse 19, Jesus shares what he's talking about in verse number 4. So if you look across the page in verse number 19, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now what's the wayside? The wayside, we'll call it the sidewalk. The sidewalk or the pathway. Now, when the Bible was written over in Israel, they didn't have fences or lands. They would walk between areas of land, and there were pathways, and they would get beaten down, and there were paths on the ground that became as hard as the top of this pulpit, and nothing's growing there. There's constant traffic there. You're not growing anything on a sidewalk in Bangor. There's constant traffic there. It's cement. You're not getting through that. So any seed that falls on that, nothing's happening. Goes by the wayside. Jesus said the birds came along. Now there are certain illustrations that can be used by that. But you know what? Some hearts are hard. Whatever the reason is. Some folks are here this morning and they're not even listening to me. You're not making eye contact with me. You're in a zone. Maybe you stayed up too late last night. You're not paying attention. You're not with it. You're not here. Hello? Hello, hey, I got you now. I grew up when I was a teenager in a Pentecostal church, the adult Sunday school class. They had a give and take. I like times where I get feedback from you, and I tell you what I think, and you tell me what you think, and then I tell you why you're wrong and why I'm right, and all of that feedback that goes on and stuff. So in this adult Sunday school class, the teacher looked They weren't getting much feedback. So the guy named Earl Hamill was a bus driver. I don't know if Earl's still on this side of heaven or not, but anyway, I'll use his name, and if he hears about this, is Earl still alive? Do we know? Mom, is Earl alive? You don't know. Anyway, Earl's sitting there. Earl's not paying attention, you know? He doesn't have a clue what's going on in the class. So the instructor asks Earl, what do you think? Well, Earl didn't even know what the topic was. Say nothing about what he thought. So Earl just says, you know, I was thinking how that new bus just doesn't seem to have the power of the old bus. You know? Well, that was a hoot. That was funny and honest. At least he was being honest. But he didn't have a clue what was going on in the class. And there will be folks that will leave this morning. And we try so hard. Spurgeon said, preaching without illustration is soon forgotten. I don't want to entertain you, but I want to keep your attention. I want to try very much for you to hear what we talk about. A lot of times folks will come to me and say, boy, that was a funny joke you told. And I say, okay, great. I'm glad you liked the joke. Why did I tell it? Because I'm trying to get you to make the connection. A lot of times you pass that test, and I'm thrilled with that. But we want you to hear it. But the reality of it is there will be folks that possibly will leave this morning, go down the road, the gospel is being preached, the word of God is being broadcast, and when you leave here, you won't have a clue of what I said. no ears to hear, no heart to listen. You don't really care. Why are you here? Well, you know, Sunday morning, my parents made me come, or my buddy's here, or I'm here, and I hear there's coffee between the services, and, you know, whatever. But I'll tell you what, the gospel didn't take the next group. Seed in stony places, verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Over on verse number 20, but he that received the seed in the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I won't ask for hands this morning, but I'll tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you've run into some opposition at times. For whatever name you want to be called. Well, what happens is folks will come and they'll hear the message of the gospel. And maybe they'd never heard it before, or finally it makes sense to them. And man, that's what I've been looking for. You know, folks, we get into fads, fad diets, you know, fad ideas. This is the new thing. There are different things you can get onto online that, oh boy, this is what I need right here. And you've heard me talk about it, I've shared my danger of being up too late at night with a credit card in my hand watching infomercials. And I'm telling you, I've bought some stuff. You know, oh boy, this is what I got to have. And then when I get it home and I realize I bought these light-up fishing lures one time. And, you know, and the beauty is the bass can see this lure in the murkiest of water. And you're going to just be hauling, oh, I got to have that. What a crock, you know. Somebody ought to sue that company, you know. But it did not work, but I was so excited to see that, and I got that, and then you put the battery in, and you throw it in the water, and instantly the thing starts to leak and rust, and, you know, you can only use them one time, and the bass are down there, you know. You know what? I was offended by that lure. I was so excited about it, but then when I saw it was mocking me, I was offended by it. People come, hear the message. Boy, preacher, that's what I needed. They seem to make a profession. They come to all the services. Years ago, I was at Bangor Baptist. A guy named Jack came to the Lord. Jack's no longer with us. He walked the aisle, trusted Christ. He's at the men's prayer meeting in the evening. He's at the Wednesday night service. He's there Sunday morning. He's there Sunday night. That went on for about 3 months. Jack's gone. What happened? So I saw him at work. I said, man, we miss seeing you. Well, you know, that was something, you know. My kids are teenagers, and that was quite a change for them. And they decided they didn't really want to do that, and I didn't really want to make them, so we decided we'll take a breather for a while. I guess he never caught his breath. He never came back. See, he didn't have any depth in his faith. He didn't grow enough. And when he started running up against resistance, he needed someone to come along beside him and work with him. Work the ground. Get some depth. And I've talked to preachers and different ones and older men and younger men and what happens in all of these. And I think the best answer on that is they just needed to be discipled. We're so excited when someone trusts Christ and now they're a brand new baby and we send the baby out on the street. You know what? You'd get arrested if you did that with a real baby. But the reality of it is, Christian, some of us ought to be arrested for abandoning some babies in Christ. Chuck Swindoll wrote this. I really should have read it with the first point, but this is one of them. That every one of us have shared our faith and it's not gone well. Don't stop. Did you hear me? Don't stop. I decided one day I'd present the gospel to a doctor friend as we had lunch together. I drew a simple little chart that had on one side of the page a circle, God, and under it, holy.
Then on the other side of the page, I drew a circle representing the world, mankind, and under the word unholy. And then I built a bridge across the horizontal bar of the cross. I was so careful to keep it simple. After lunch, I slid it across the table at the restaurant. My heart was just in my throat. I thought, he's going to believe. He's going to love this. He looked at that, studied it for a few seconds, and he smiled and said, in 1,000 years, I could never believe that. Couldn't have been more clear or simple, but he couldn't have been further from the interest in the truth. And I said, have you ever seen that before? And he said, no, never in my life, never. Never seen it, and I'm not interested. You get online, and you know, a computer is the biggest waste. But anyway, I got online, I started reading, they had an article of this famous people and their last words. And maybe I should have written them down. Things occur to me when I'm preaching that I think really would work good in this message if I'd thought to put it in there. But it's heartbreaking to read the last words of some people and you know that they probably died without Christ. It's heartbreaking to read the record of a doctor that said, no, not interest, never, not in 1,000 years. Seed in the wayside, seed in stony places. Verse number 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. 1 John 2:15 through 17 is a verse that you're probably tired of hearing me quote. But I think it's a day and age where we all ought to know it. Love not the world. Say that with me. Love not the world. I'll be the first to admit to you, I think I admitted last Sunday that I'm not looking, but I notice attractive women. Every guy does. If you say you don't, you are a liar or you're blind, okay? Now, having said that, there are things that you notice. And I've noticed that the world has some attractive offers. Have you noticed that? If you think, oh boy, preacher, I'm not attracted to the world. Really? Will you sign my Bible? Because I've seen some things that I'm attracted to that the world has to offer. And Christians love to love the Lord, if you will, or say that they do, but they try to keep enough of the world in there so supposedly they don't miss out on the fun. Well, that's a crock. Don't go there. But what happens with the world? The Bible warns us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'll tell you what, I've seen it. A guy will get interested, a married man will get interested in another woman, and all of a sudden he no longer loves his wife. Why? Because you can only truly love one thing at a time. God didn't give us the ability to, I'm not a believer in polygamy. If a guy's married to four women, number one, he's an idiot, okay? And number two, there's no chance he can equally love them and give them the care and concern that they deserve. It's wrong. It's pathetic. It makes me mad. And you'll see someone fall in love or get their emotions and their desires tied up with someone else. And all of a sudden, that person that's been so faithful to them, they no longer care about. And they'll come and they'll say, Pastor, I don't love her and I don't know that I ever did. And I just want to pull my sidearm and it just drives me crazy. My counseling calendar is not full, if you're wondering. But be careful with your affections and desires. Do you hear me? The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's a good deal. Forever. The seed among thorny grounds. Verse number 22. But he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word in the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know what? Sad to say, in America, we're way too busy chasing money rather than chasing God. Let me recommend something to you. Pursue God. Say that with me. Pursue God. I know, guys, we're good at going after things that we want. God made us that way. We're conquerors. We're hunters. We're providers. We love to take our gun out of the gun cabinet and go into the woods and trounce around and find Bambi and kill it. Bring it home and look what I did. We are. There's something in us. God made us that way. We did the same. You know, maybe this should be said in a men's meeting so the ladies don't know how we operate, guys. But really, that's how we got our wife. We pursued. We conquered her. We confused her to a point she thought she was in love. We got her to walk down in the aisle and say, ah, I got her, I got her, I got her. We're going to do that on Saturday, aren't we, Gabe, huh? Yeah. Gabe's, oh, yeah, yeah, you nervous? Not a chance. You know, now, women, be nervous. However, people will be so busy pursuing the world, they don't have time to pursue God. And Satan has been masterful at making us so busy. Our schedule's so full. I'll tell you, I will confess to you, and you folks know this, this isn't a secret. A pastor basically wants to resign every Monday, just tired, just busy. Busy a lot of times with the wrong things, and you're sharing the gospel, and is anybody listening? Is anybody noticing? Is anyone believing anymore? And hearts are getting harder, and people are getting busier, and there are folks this morning that are not in church this morning because they didn't have time to do it. What a shame. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The wayside, the thorns, hard soil. And lastly, verse number 8. Brother, they fell in good ground, brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse number 23, but he that receiveth the seed in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. Galatians 6:9 says, and be not, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let me tell you something. If you share your faith, there's going to be some folks that won't pay attention, that won't hear, that won't listen. They'll think they are. They get there, and then, but every now and then, it takes hold. And by golly, they turn into something special. And they produce some fruit. And that's what we need, is some fruit-bearing Christians. And I've told you all of that, but you know, something, I was reading the book this week, and really, this is where I think it's at for us as the Cornerstone Baptist Church, as Christians. We are, if you will, farmers. We're husbandmen. The word husband is caretaker. I'm a husband to my wife. And so I am supposed to take care of her. I husband her. I make sure that she has a place to live and a car to drive and a dollar to spend. And, you know, all of those things, that's, and we work on that relationship. And every now and then as she starts to get out of line, I bring her back into the fold. And, you know, you work at things. Yes. It's me that's out of line? Yes. Well, I'm preaching right now. We'll talk about this later. But anyway, so all of these things go on, okay? But the reality of it is that that's the job of the husbandman, is to work on the soil. And here's the deal. You're going to share your faith with someone that's hard and they're not listening and they don't seem to care. Are they breathing? And if they're breathing, it's our job to move the walkway then. It's our job to work on the soil. See, walkways, pavements can be moved. Things can be rerouted. Thorns can be pulled up. Soil can be worked on. Rocks can be picked. Around here, in this time of year, another thing we smell is not only planting, but farm fresh air. Why is that? Because they're fertilizing the soil, because you know what? Soil after a while gets worn out. It picks up disease and things go wrong, and you need to rotate the crops, and you need to work on it, you need to fertilize it, you need to let it rest. And I think for you and I as Christians, we need to be working the soil. We need to be getting our hands dirty. I told you I don't like dirt. But I'll tell you, when you're talking about the souls and the lives of men and women who will live eternally somewhere. Who is it, C.S. Lewis? One of them said, you've never met a mortal soul. A mere mortal. Thank you. See, I needed you, honey. You've never met a mere mortal. Isn't that interesting? Pangburn. Immortal. You look at Iron Man right there. Huh? Every one of us are going to live forever. Right. Folks, that ought to motivate you to think about something. If you know Christ is your personal Savior, you're set. And set to say, a lot of times, when you're set, you're all set, and you're no longer concerned. Boy, shame on us. Because the problem is most people are not set. They're not ready. Say, Stan, I've shared my faith in the past, just doesn't seem to work. Well, you know what? I've eaten before and gotten hungry again. I guess that doesn't work. I'm just going to get hungry again. They say if you stop eating long enough, hunger pangs will go away and you won't be hungry anymore. Yeah, you'll be dead. Well, you know what? When I grew up, we used to have terms called dead Baptists. You know, that's a dead church. There's no life there. Well, let me submit to you, it's a possibility, Christian. If you're not sharing your faith, you're a dead Christian. Oh. Now, see, we were having such a good time until we got to that point. But I'll tell you what, there are eternal souls that need you to broadcast the seed. Now, I'm not saying that you need to make sure every person you talk to, you pray or send his prayer with them, and don't let them go, and you put them in a corner, and you make them choose. No. No, but I'm saying if Scott says something, William says something, George says something, Jim says something, Emily says something, Tori says something, Stan says something, after a while, they're going to think, maybe there's something to this. Because I'll tell you, there's power in numbers. You know, there's not a lot of us, but we're everywhere. You go to Walmart, you run into people. It's hard for me to get away with anything. I can't do anything. And I'll run into folks, see them. I'm a regular Dairy Queen on Broadway. Man, I love that place. Salted caramel truffle blizzard. I'm telling you, it's manna from heaven. Okay? But I can't go into Dairy Queen without seeing people I know. It's just, they're everywhere. I can't get away with anything. I can't even try and get fat. People are catching me. What's my point? My point is we are everywhere. And if we're sharing our faith, I think it works. Broadcast the seed. Oh, that person's too hard. Then soften them up. Kill them with kindness. Love them. Care about them. Write them a note. Tell them you're thinking about them. I'm telling you, we are here to share our faith, to pursue God, to love him, to serve him, and to take as many people with us as we possibly can. Be a worker of the soil. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time in your word today. God, I don't know if every person here is a believer in Jesus Christ, but they are going to live somewhere forever. And Lord, if they are here and they don't know you, we are thrilled that they're here. And I pray that they would care enough to consider our Savior, our Lord, our God. You said you're the way, the truth, and the life. Every one of us are sinners, and no one gets to heaven in their sinful condition, but you took our place, paid our sins. And if they would just believe in you as their Savior, you would give them the power to become the sons of God.